Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst. The Trevor Brooking and Billy Bones. A Paolo Di Canio. West Ham United. Just a podcast. More than just a podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is More Than Just a Podcast.
We lost 4-1.
There's no George tonight. There's no George tonight for the podcast.
I'm still waiting for a podcast. Excellent. Season 7, episode 28. As he's already said, no George tonight. He's got a bad back. Get well soon, George, from all of us at More Than Just a Podcast, which includes John. Good evening, John. Where are you? What are you
Good
doing?
Evening. I am in my loft, and I am talking to you and looking forward to it.
Is it snowing where you are?
It is snowing, yes. Is it snowing Good. Where you are?
It is known where I am. Shedman, what are you doing? Where are you?
I'm not in my shed tonight.
Why is that? Is it too cold?
Too cold out there. Yeah, I'll sit in the kitchen.
Is it snowing in deepest, darkest Essex?
No, it's not.
No?
No.
Has it been snowing?
It's not. We've had it, but it's gone. But it might be back later.
Anyway, stop talking about the weather. It's not a weather forecast or podcast even.
Podcast, fine.
We're here to talk about West Ham United, and we're going to start talking about West Ham 1 or Liverpool 4, West Ham 1. That wasn't a great result, was it, John?
No, it wasn't, Sean. It wasn't a great result. It wasn't a great performance.
And we only had 32% of the possession. They had obviously 68. We had 7 shots, 4 on target. They had a massive 21, 13 on target. Discuss, John, where did it all go wrong?
Well, I suspected it wasn't going to be very easy within like the first few minutes when Salah ran through the whole of us and pretty much hit the post, didn't he? And I thought, this is going to be tough. We seem to get it together a bit better. Then we just, they just outdid us top to bottom. They were much better than us. I was surprised at the team that was picked. I was surprised that Hernandez didn't get a start. I would be dropping Mario if everyone's fit now, seeing as he's not staying to the end of the season. That was just not
Moyes
very good,
then?
Was it?
Moyes out?
No, I'm not saying Moyes out. There's probably other things he probably signed and he's got to play or something like that. I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, it's hard to know with you protest people, so I always like to, find out where we stand.
No, I wouldn't like to be. I don't like to jump too soon, Sean, unlike you did, on various occasions. But, they were just much better than us, weren't they? Let's face it. And, the sad thing is, it wasn't that long ago that we were competing with them, were we? We had the last season at the bowling, we had played them 3 or 4 times, didn't we? And we'd done all right against them. And now
they've come good, though, on Salah. I mean, they've got a gem of a player.
Proper investment and proper management, isn't it? million miles away from
us. But they've got one of those players of the season, haven't they? And their form, you know, going into this was big. I mean, if we expect anything from it, I mean, my view, and I'm going to come to Nigel in a minute, is, you know, we did very well. I mean, as I think you said on the WhatsApp group, John, you know, the corner looked a foul to begin with, and maybe they shouldn't have got it to get the first goal. But before that, Arnautović obviously hit the post. It looked like it was going in, so it was a game of inches, as we say. And who knows if the game had changed. We held on. Sorry?
You say it's what you say, a game of inches.
Right, I say it's a game of inches.
Yeah, not many people.
At half time, it was still 1-1. At half time, it was 1-0, and we did very well to hang on. And of course, again, another cliche. We're doing cliches again this week. It's a game of two halves, and they just stepped up a gear, and we had no answer. Whether selection, Frank Lampard said on Match of the Day that it was too aggressive set up, and we should have put 11 men behind the ball. Do you get him right? Do you agree with Frank Lampard, Nigel? How did you see the game?
No, I don't agree with Lampard. Listen, I've gone there, seen us defend and get beat. So I've always think Liverpool away is not a free hit, but it's always a game where when you only win there once in 50-odd years, you're not going to get much. So why not go there and have a go? And if you get beat, you get beat. There were signs there that actually against some of the lesser teams, we'd have got points out of that. At the end of the day, their front three is awesome. So, and it's no surprise that they all scored. So I don't see what the problem is. We've been beat by Liverpool.
Well, I suppose as long as we don't go down on goal difference, as long as it doesn't come down to goal difference, because if we go down on one or two goal difference, then we began, well, it wasn't so much of a free hit after all.
But if you go down, it's over a season, not because we got beat 4-1 by Liverpool. Bearing in mind, we got beat 4-1 at home, did we not?
Yeah, that's not.
So,
is there anything you would have done different if you were in charge? Would you, with the people available, would you have?
No, I actually think he'd put out a different thing. Team? No, all this moaning about Hernandez, that weren't a game for Hernandez to be up front. That was a game made for Arnautović to do what he did. Arnautović will run them on.
And drop in Antonio as well?
Well, Antonio's just come back from injury. You can't keep playing him because you can knacker him out again. He's got to be brought in. I thought he'd done the right thing. He brought him on. We got a goal back. Spoiled my bet. But still, thanks for that.
Do you want to tell the listeners what your bet was?
Well, I'll admit it.
Betting against your own team.
You bet with your head, not with your heart. I was cheering for West Ham, but if we did happen to lose 4-0, I would have cashed in. But we didn't. We lost 4-1. Thanks.
That's why he didn't want Hernandez on, wasn't it?
That's
not. So I would have started Hernandez and brought Arnautović behind him a bit in this game and put him sort of pat in the midfield. I've seen Mario, he's got something about him, but he's just not there yet, is he? He doesn't look sharp. And it just seems pointless now. If we've got players back fit, they should be players that are our players and are staying at our club and are fighting for a cause. He should sort of take him out of the firing line a bit. So yeah. I know he played Lanzini, but, you know, like you say, Antonio, Hernandez, these players, if he wants to go for it with the players, you know, that are there for the cause.
And look, we weren't ever going to beat properly. Liverpool are in the form season at the moment, and they went second. And if an interesting thing, and I was saying this to one of you two, or both of you on the WhatsApp group earlier, I was talking about if you look at the table right now, if you look at all the teams with money, so I'm talking about Man City, Man United, Chelsea, Liverpool, Arsenal and Spurs, the top six, the traditional top six. If you look at them, they have all got positive goal difference in the table at the moment. I think the minimum one's got 15. And do you know, outside of those top six, everybody has got negative goal difference. And that tells the story. It's still about the money.
I think that's been the way a lot. It's still been the way that way for years.
Well, apart from the Leicester season, it's gone back normal money. And you picked up another thing on the WhatsApp group, which was there's only a certain number of points, but the rest 14 in the table, because the TV money of at least 100 million has normalised the rest of the division. Isn't that what you said, or am I paraphrasing?
That's what I believe for a while, that outside of the top six now, where you would say there used to be three divisions in the Premier League and we would be in the middle division, now that's just merged into one. There's 17 points between bottom and seventh. And I think if Man City win their game in hand, there's 16 points between second and first. So, and every team's got £100 million in the bank or is fighting to keep hold of that. So therefore, if you look at the points, that's why basically everyone from 11th downwards could be argued that they're in a relegation battle.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm.
Swansea, must win game, Nigel?
No, must not lose game. But even if we do lose, I don't think we're down. I'm not a doom merchant like everyone thinks.
John, 10 games left, must win game against Swansea?
It's up there, isn't it? Just from a personal point of view, I'd like to have it as a win, so it just doesn't...
Do you think they should trot out the old save our season message? Save our season.
That went down well, didn't it? That was a good end.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on the running order. A loss is a loss. We all expected it. Let's hope we can pick our game up for Swansea. Obviously, in the news a lot is the march and the West Ham United group, because it's a number of groups now, not just the real West Ham fans. Obviously, well publicised, they had a meeting. We won't go through it because it's been well publicised on KUMB, etc. Waiting for the official minutes coming out. Today it's been announced there's a 5,000 word reply, and they're meeting again this evening. But maybe a slight distraction to all this talk of marching and protest was the banner. The banner that compared Adolf Hitler to what the board did. Was it a step too far, John?
It was ill-advised, but not a step too far. People have just take these things so much out of context, I believe. You know, we used to be able to, have a bit of gallows humour and a bit of stupidness, but you're not anymore. I'm sure these people didn't intend to make any comparisons to what people have accused them of making the comparisons to and offence to. It's just, it could have been phrased better.
Well, maybe it was just a publicity stunt. Nigel, you're an EastEnder. You call us Mockneys. Was it a step too far for you? Or is it just a publicity stunt that has just gone wrong?
It don't sit right with me, I must admit. It's hard to explain. I remember asking my mum why we never had any photographs of my grandparents from before the war. So a lot of families, you see, they do their family history and you'll have photographs of when they were kids. And my mum says, well, they were bombed out 5 times and they lost everything. So they had to start again. So, and they were the lucky ones because they lived. So, I mean... I see someone on Twitter complaining, and they actually said, I can't remember, it was a young kid, he said, defending it, saying, show me, because we all know the bowling got hit by a bomb. He said, show me a building big enough, bigger than the bowling ground, that got damaged. Well, I know the story about Hallsville Junior School,
You want to tell the story for people who don't know?
Basically, first day of the Blitz, September the 9th or 8th, whatever it was, early September 1940, first day of the Blitz, Canning Town gets hit bad because we're by the docks. And it was the main area that was targeted.
Yeah.
A lot of people that got bombed out, obviously, there was unexploded bombs. So a lot of people had to move out of houses that weren't bombed. And they got put into a holding centre. And this school, quite a large school, was where they held the people. Now, what happened was the story goes round that no one come and got them out. They were supposed to be bussed out. there's a rumour that the buses went to Camden Town, not Canyon Town. But the people were stuck there. A lot of people were stuck there for 3 days. While the Blitz is still going on every night. And basically, the third day, still a lot of people stuck there. They took a direct hit from a bomb. Now, officially, it was 70 people were killed. And it got proven years later that nearly 600 people, maybe more, were in that. And that the government was so desperate to hide the fact that they even filled the crater in and just left the dead bodies, filled them in, and left them there. And that's the story. Now, bearing in mind, that's half a mile from Thames Ironworks land, or where the Thames Ironworks.
Yeah.
It touches a nerve for me. You know, I could understand it's 70 years ago. People don't understand. But for me personally, if they'd have said, you know, Golden Sullivan had done more damage to the bowling ground than Golden Sullivan, then yeah, I'll go with that all day long. But to say they damaged the East End more than Hitler, then I can't agree with that. And the Independent went too stupidly going on about, oh, anti-Semitism and all that and our Jewish owners. No, I don't.
Yeah, they said Sullivan.
Well, not, even David Gold's not Jewish, because to be proper Jewish, your mum's got to be Jewish for a start, yeah. And David Gold's mum ain't Jewish. Yeah. So this, without going down that road. But the sentimentality behind the message, perhaps it was foolish, and that's the only criticism I give. But I will point out to people when they go, oh, it's this, it's that. No, people really did lose their lives around that area. So,
yeah. Well, Bobby Moore, I was watching a programme about Bobby Moore on his anniversary of his death, and his mother and his auntie says on the day he was born in Waverley Close, his mother went to hospital at Waverley Gardens. They're bringing him back to Waverley Gardens. And when they got there, they were bombed out. The windows are gone. The ceilings are collapsed. And she had to go, Doris, I think his mother's name is, had to go the other side of Barking. So it affects a lot of people, but the people making the banner probably didn't think about it. But unfortunately, it's that gets picked up in the headlines, another headline from West Ham, and it's that maybe divides the fans as well, when it, really they should be united.
It's just easy picking, isn't it? It's just it's anything that's of a negative and derogatory that people pick up on. You know, it wasn't bright, it wasn't clever, it was ill-informed and sort of could have been done in so many different ways, but you know, it gets so blown up, doesn't it, out of all proportion, and it's just pardon the pun.
What next for the West Ham? We're waiting for them to publish a letter. I think they still plan to march in March. Are you still marching, John?
Well, I think whatever happens, the march has got to happen, I believe. It's because you still need a show of
well, lose
strength,
face.
Really, yeah. What is going to happen? I don't know. I mean, the meeting happened. We've heard so many different stories about the meeting. We don't know what's in this letter. We're yet to see what the responses are. But, you know, the march should... We agreed, I think, we all agreed on here that we're not likely to get board change as such. So what we want are changes and compromises. So if this is the beginning of that, then we'll go power to their elbows, do you know what I mean?
Well, there does seem to be some compromise. You don't write a 5,000-word letter with nothing in it, so there must be some. I see KUMB wrote something today, so I assume it is. It's Graham Howlett who went to the beginning of the five-hour meeting. And he says at the end, and I'm quoting, although supporters have cited many different individual reasons for attending the protest, all those in attendance at next month's peaceful parade will be marching under a general banner of no confidence in West Ham's United current board, which stands accused of gross mismanagement of the club, both on and off the field.
Hear, I agree.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, see, Nigel? The thing is, if that I've sat on the fence, sort of, because I don't see what it's going to achieve. I did my shit 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and got no thanks for it. So, bitter, maybe. Wish these people had done it 5, 6 years ago, and we might not have been in this mess, definitely. So, for me, the march was no. Now, if the march had always just been about that, I probably would go. But there's so many different factions with so many different reasons for marching.
Yeah.
That, you know, I just thought, as I said, I did my stuff 5-6 years ago. I know it's no secret I'm no lover of the board. I never have been. I probably never will be. They do things right. They do a lot of things wrong. And the club's in a mess because of their doing. I wish they would admit that. That's what I'd like to see. Them finally admit that all the crap that they told years ago was crap.
They don't seem to have a clue, though, do they? They don't seem to realise.
But that's why it's took 5 years for this to build up, 5-6 years to build up to this head of steam. It was always going to happen because they couldn't deliver on the rubbish that they said. And I'm afraid they've got to just suck it up. If they don't want to go, fine. See if you can ride it out. But the worst thing that for me is the damage that's being done to the club. And I'm not going to criticise the Real Fans Group for protesting or whatever, because I think it is necessary in a way. The damage is being done by the owners, and that's what I've always said was if they were real fans, they would see the damage they've done and they would step aside. They would realise that the only way for the club to heal is for us to go.
But instead of that, you get Brady, I would imagine, being in that meeting, fighting her corner and sort of just not having anything they're saying, you know?
Yeah,
so it'd be really interesting to see what this letter says.
Because that's the thing, they don't believe they've done anything wrong. Still now, to this day, they think the fans have got it wrong.
Yeah, but she won't, I'm sure she won't stop her son column. How long have we been banging on about that? How many times has that message got back to the board that it's negative?
She says it's her decision. And she's not.
Well, that's fine. Actually, that is. But to be fair, that is right. It is a decision and whatever. But then she can't complain when we all complain because we can see the damage it does to the club or how it rubs our noses up the wrong way. And that's what she's not thinking. That's selfishness, personal point of view, and her bank account. That's not for the good of the club.
Her personal profile.
Yeah, it's not for the good of the club.
And if she's so concerned about her personal profile, she's done enough now. Take her profile and bugger off. She doesn't need West Ham anymore. Football has given
her. There you go, Karen. Heard it from John.
Well,
you
football's
need to bugger
given
off.
Her profile. She's become a known person because of football. So she's used and ridden football as far as it can go. Get out of football now and get on with the rest of these careers that she's interested in. She's more interested in television and politics. Well, go and do it. Leave us behind now. Goodbye.
Hold up, John.
Thank you for...
Hold up. We don't really want to run in the country, though, do we? Let's you know, keep out of politics as well, please, Karen.
Just London. Oh. She can be Mayor of London. Take
Baroness Greenback. You're having a laugh.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on. The financial accounts are out this Wednesday. They're going to be published finally. What will be in them? Well... Turnover around 180 million, which is going to be record. A net profit of 25 million. The interesting thing is the actual increase from moving to the stadium, and I'm including ticket sales, merchandising and everything, is just 9 million increase, which a lot of people will say, why did we move? There will be, I understand, a small payback of some of the interest on the loans, although the actual loans aren't being paid back, but we'll wait to see that. The biggest amount of money has obviously come from the TV money. So, you know, we got 80, what was it? I'm just having a look here. We're getting 122 million last season from the TV money. That's up 35 million from the year before. So, It's a massive increase. It's around about £44 million increase in turnover. But as I say, most of that is TV money. Players' wages are about 50%, so about £93 million that's increased. Agent fees, £9.5 million. But the biggest question is going to be, Everybody says, where's the money? I mean, I wrote an article about this saying they might be profit rich, but they're cash poor. And the reason is, and most people don't want to hear this, I know, is they spend money up front and then they depreciate a number of years. So the £15 million they gave the London Stadium, they put in the books at £15,000 a year for the next 100 years. The £11 million they spent on the shop and refitting and West Hamification, they're depreciating over 10 years. So it's £1.1 million. So it looks at, where's all the cash gone? Well, they put it in there, but probably layman people are not going to understand it and go, well, I don't understand where the money's gone. Well, the money hasn't gone in their pocket. A small amount of it has in interest payments. They've reduced their interest from 7% to 4%.
What is this
amount? Huh? I don't know until it's published. We know on Wednesday, John. But there's, without a doubt, earlier this week I published something on net spend. And of course, we made, if you look at 2017 to 18 season, we've made a net profit. Rather than having a net spend, it's a negative net spend. And the very lowest calculations are a £1 million. That's my calculation of the real figures I've been given of how much we've sold and bought players for. Some have argued and said it's as much as 11, but it's irrelevant in some ways. It's still a negative net spend, whether it be £1 million, £10
million. I mean, they sold him back before I reckon they'd even paid for him. So
you're right.
Things like that into consideration.
But we bought with add-ons. We paid £23 million for AU. We sold him for £18 million transfer fee, which is probably paid over 3 years, and another £2 million of add-ons, taking it to 20. We're still £3 million down.
But they paid
if we look
million
at
for someone
Font,
that...
he was sold for €5 million. It's £4.3 million.
Paid £3 million.
We paid £8 million. Whether we finished paying off? Yeah, haven't finished paying off.
All of it is coming back to the point that they're incompetent at what they do, which takes you all the way back to what the CUM people are saying. We've got
incompetent, or is it they're not prepared? Is it they're not prepared to put their own money in? And there's another story I wrote, which is, and a lot of people have been asking, how much money have they actually invested in? And do you know what? They haven't really put any of their own money in for the last 4 years. 2014 is the last time they put money in. And 2 days ago,
whose fault was that then?
Whose fault was that? So what they've done is, their fault as well. But I'm just talking about investment. So I'm just going to tell you, Gold and Sullivan, when you add it up, have paid £86 million for their shares, of which £4 million went to the club, maybe more, and the other £82 million went straight to the Icelandics who own the shares. So that didn't come back to the club. Sullivan himself made a bank loan in 2013 for £6.7 million, which he's been repaid in full with interest in May 2016. And Gold and Sullivan in total, shareholder loans, have loaned £52.2 million to the club between 2011 and 2014, just that three-year period, and have accrued, and this is the last accounts, £12.3 million in interest. Last year, they paid themselves back £4.2 million in interest in August 2016 that came out last year. And the full balance isn't due to January 2020. Well, some people say, well, they've invested nothing in the club because they get it all back. You know, when they sell the club, they get a return. And obviously, they're getting their loans back with interest. But what that message really says is they haven't put any of their own money in for 4 years. They for whatever reason, they want West Ham to be a self-sustaining club and it generates its own profits and it's got to invest within its own money and it won't be topped up by the owners. It's up to people to decide whether that's right or wrong. Do you think they should be putting more money in, John? Is that your point?
I just think I've said a lot of things and haven't produced it because I haven't put the money
in. You're right. Make over-ambitious statements, they're saying next level.
The only way they can do what they said they were going to do is by investing. It's like I said earlier, you know, 2-3 seasons ago, we were competing with Liverpool. Now we're a million miles away. We haven't invested.
We should be honest. We can't invest. We can't match Spurs like Liverpool.
Yeah, I accept that.
And they haven't got the money to do it.
I accept that. So, I accept that fully. But also, don't pay £8 million for Fonte, put him on £70,000 a week and then sell him for five. You know, what they have actually spent is, you know, where's our new head of recruitment? Well, you know, they are.
I've got a 22 or 25 or what, a 27 year old or whatever.
They're just not very good at running a football club. So what they do actually spend, they spend it badly. They don't get any return on their investments because no one ever seems to want to buy the players they buy when they decide they're not good enough. And they seem to pay them too much money to come. So our wage bill's so high. So they're just pretty rubbish at running a football club, aren't they?
Yep. Okay. Last word from Nigel on the finances. How do you see it? Is it a PR disaster for them?
Well, yeah, it's going to be. Let's put it right, because at the end of the day, the funny thing is we all want the club to make money, because the only way for the club to progress is by earning more money. So we should be pleased the club's making more money. But the problem is, on one side, we're not making enough money to do what they said. They're not putting their own money in. And it's a vicious circle. Personally, it's two sides to this. People complain about the debt the club's in. The debt's now owed to Gold and Sullivan. So the only way to get that down is for them to take money out of the club. They do that and people complain that they're asset stripping.
It's a catch-22.
They can't win now. Then you've got the... I believe a football club should be self-sufficient and it shouldn't be bankrolled by owners, and that it should generate its own money. I also think that your wage bill shouldn't be higher than 60% of your turnover, because that's how you get into the trouble like we got under the Icelandics. So in a way, you could argue that they're doing the right thing now. The problem for me then, allies, in what John says is, look at the players that they buy. It's like dad's army at times. We're buying 28, 29-year-olds that are going to be on the highest wages because they're at the peak of their career, but we're getting them at the peak as they're on the downward slope. We're not getting them at the bottom when we're on the upward slope.
Yeah.
My mate Dave Walker can bang on all he's like about these people, at least we're not a selling club. The reason we're not a selling club is nobody wants to buy the players we got. Yeah? So therefore, if you look at Tottenham Hotspur, you know, without spitting, they've built their football club off of the back of Gareth Bale and the Sal and the way they spent the money, because they went through a period of buying young players in Europe and from other clubs and bringing them through and taking a gamble on the youngsters, and it paid off and paid off and paid off. You know, they went to MK Dons and bought Dele Alli. You know, so they've done it again, haven't they? You know, what are we doing? We're paying £24 million to Stoke from Marko Arnautović. Now, I'm not knocking Arnautović because he's going to be a great player and probably be the hammer of the year. But at the end of the day, he's at the peak. He's on a downward slope. When we sell him, we'll sell him for £10 million if we're lucky. Yeah.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
£28, £29 million
How old is he?
Once a footballer, it's 30. The value No, the value will slide.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit
and that's the problem. Look at all the signings that we made. Yeah. Chicharito, how old's he? 28, 29, 30. Joe Hart, 30. Zabaleta, 32. Font, how old was Font? 34. In Hogarth. I mean, and this is where John's...
Right, you're right. You're right. And it's hard to say that. And do you know what? It's their bed and they've got to lie in it and they can't win. As you say earlier, they announce more profits. They'd be sustainable. If they hadn't loaned the money and they borrowed it from a bank, no one would be moaning about it now. But it's too late. They can't win. If they pump more money, unless they just put loads of money in, but
they should do, you know, when you buy a club like they did our club and all they kept saying about was how big the debt was, I should clear the debt. They said they were going to clear the debt. Then you would think if they're that wealthy, these people, clear the debt. Start from now. Well, yeah. We've had to put 45 million now in of our own money. We've cleared the debt. Now we're going to be self-sustainable. Now we're going to have to operate.
Well, I suppose they don't want to clear the debt only because they own it. If they did have 100% of the club, they might because it's all theirs. But they don't want to give a free ride to the other 14% of the shareholders, the 4% owned by Brown and the Harris family and the 10% owned by Tripp Smith.
Yeah, but they've chosen these.
Why should they have
them? Yeah, but they've chosen these people to join the board.
Yeah, you're right.
Brown's back in. Not a lot of people realise that he's back in, but he's there. You know, these
and his free ticket.
With his gates and his garden.
Well, they've chosen to bring these people back in. So it's to everyone's benefit that the club's self-sustainable, doing well because it hasn't got to keep worrying about this debt. So pay the 40 off and clear the debt, start from zero, and now we'd be self-sustainable.
My calculation, £80 million net transfer spend over 4 years. That's £20 million a year. I think in the current Premier League, that's not enough. But I want to move on. When the finances do come out, I'll be running an article on both West Ham Till I Die and Claret & Hugh. So I'll be analysing the accounts as they come out, both good and bad.
Quick question then, Sean, on all of that.
Yeah.
What is actually happening about this new player recruiting and what is this
I think
Sullivan
they've
come out
in
and said about, is he going to step back off at all this now?
Well, first of all, they're trying to get through to the summer. So they've put this youngster in who was the first team performance analyst who came from, where did he come from? Ipswich or somewhere? I can't remember. I did an article on him. So he's a youngster. He's in his 20s. So he's been put in temporary charge. I don't know, call him a head of recruitment, but he's been put in charge until the summer. They're obviously going to try and recruit someone, a new head of recruitment.
Well, they need to be doing that now, whether it be all the summer, don't they?
Yeah, well, I'm sure they are, but what I'm saying is the new head of recruitment probably won't start. I mean, I don't know what everything's going on because I've taken a step back from it, as you know, and I've told you, you know, I don't talk to the board. So, you know, why would I know these things? But I understand that they're trying to recruit to start in the summer. And, you know, if they want someone good, he's probably on notice, or she. So I think they're going to try and completely change things ready for the summer and the look over the summer when the transfer, in time for when the transfer window opens again. As for whether it take a step back, I know, and it's quite open, that David Sullivan has not been very well and he wants to take more of a back seat. My understanding is he doesn't want to talk about it. He doesn't really want people discussing it. So I think we should respect that. And not discuss his wellness, but I think maybe it's time for him to take a bit more of a back seat because I know he finds the whole transfer window very stressful.
Look, the thing that's a noose around their neck is this top level statement. They must regret ever saying it. The problem that they don't understand is that to go on to the next level, you don't spend the same money as what Liverpool and Man United and Arsenal and Chelsea in the next level. You got to spend more than them. And that's why I long argued 5-6 years. It ain't ever going to happen because we're never going to have that money.
Yeah. Never. I think you're right. I think they've got to come out and say it was overly ambitious. In reality, it's so difficult to catch up with the others because the more they get, the more they spend. And you're never going to catch them because the more you earn and the more you spend, the more they earn and
spend. You can also look at it right, we were overambitious. This was a shame, but what we are going to do is this. And they could then present a way forward. How we're going to try, you know, I mean, going by England won the World Cup and whatever, at so many different levels this summer. We're going to take three or four of these youngsters, put them in our first team squad. We're going to give them the opportunity, you know, something, you know, present us with something. Do it, go about it a different way. I mean, we all know Leicester did it. Fluky, never going to happen again, maybe, I don't know. But it was probably down to clever recruitment. Really good.
Yeah.
Really good scouting.
And a bit of luck. Yeah, a bit of luck. And the other teams.
Good management or something, you know. Something clicked. But you need to have the basis there in the first place. And we haven't got that.
But it's funny that you say about Leicester and clever recruiting. The bloke that recruited those players is now at Everton.
I know.
And look at the mess they made.
Anyway, we're going to move on. As I say, articles will come out and we'll see where we are. I want to move on to Bobby Moore because we're in the week of Bobby Moore. I published a Bobby Moore special from 5 years ago. That's how long we've been doing a podcast, when we spoke to Norman Giller, who was a journalist friend of his, and Sir Trevor Brookin. So that a lot of people were listening to that this week. Do you remember that one, John?
Yeah.
5 years ago? And obviously, there were the T-shirts on there and they Anfield and celebrated that way, and they've got an exhibition at the shop at the moment, and they've got a number of events on the 10th of March, which happens to be the same day as a protest. I know some conspiracy theorists will say, well, it's very convenient, but I think if I'm going to be fair to them on this, it was announced at the beginning of the season and on the programme, so you know they can't change the nearest home game to Bobby Moore's tribute or anniversary of his death. I know you did something that was seen by David Gold and was retweeted. A memory of Bobby Moore. Did you? I can't remember. Did you ever meet him? Did you ever watch him play, Nigel?
Yeah, I saw him play for Fulham.
All right, okay.
Funny enough, but I was there to watch George Best because George Best was my hero as a kid. So it was only years later I discovered that Bobby Moore was playing in the same game, Rodney Marsh. So I mean, I remember him at West Ham. I remember his shop across the road. My uncle would tell me stories. He was friends with Redknapp and Lampard and used to associate with him in the Black Lion pub. Bobby Moore would be there. My uncle would say, you know, Bobby Moore, he never really spoke a lot. And he says, you know, he can only remember having two conversations with him. The fact that he was in his company quite often, though, was enough for him. So, yeah, I mean, I found loads of stuff. I collect West Ham videos and clips that I'd saved up, tweeted them out, and did one of them memories or whatever they call them on Twitter. I'd never done one before, where I group them all together and they can all be seen. David Gold picked up, I think it was a song from a man I've since discovered, I think he went by the name Bubbles or something, and used to sing these songs. I think Sean, you put all of his songs on YouTube.
I did,
enough, years ago.
This is where they came from. The person, when you saw that, that's where it came from.
And someone else put it on a video, a longer video, to tribute to Bobby Moore, and all I did was crop the song because I thought it's a good song and it's a good video. Yeah. And then David Gold see it, retweeted it, called it great, and then my phone didn't shut up, and it's still pinging now. And then you retweeted it, and I now know what XWHU employee goes through on a daily basis. My phone did not shut up pinging. I had to put it on silent. But no, it was all about, you know, the thing with the club is, it's good to do this. For me though, he's not the only player though, is he? I'm not saying sometimes, you don't deserve it, but sometimes we forget that football is a team game and you still need all the other players as well, and that we should remember a lot more of the other players rather than just the same ones.
Yeah. No, you've got a good point. I don't know if I've ever told you this, but I met Bobby twice, both in Surrey.
No.
Yeah. The first.
Hang on, let me guess. I don't remember you telling me this, but it wasn't something to do with a train station.
Yeah, that was the second one. So the first time I met him was when my brother was in the summer soccer school, Bobby Moore's summer soccer school in Tylworth, Surrey, in what was the Decca Sports Ground. It's now Goals, I think, in Tylworth, Surrey. And he was running the soccer school. My brother was in, and I came along, and my dad went, oh, I have a picture taken with Bobby Moore. I didn't know who he was. I was a youngster at the time. And I had my picture taken with Bobby Moore, and it's one of my treasured pictures now. It meant nothing to me at the time. Shook his hand, you know, hello, Bobby Moore, yeah. Because he was my dad's.
Did your brother have his picture done?
My brother.
Did your brother have a picture done as well?
Yeah, even though he's a Chelsea fan. And then, and I mean, he had his picture taken with all of them. It was one of those things. He didn't take training all week. It was his name. He turned up at the beginning, talked to them all, and came at the end for the presentation. That was, I think, what Bobby did. And then the other time was Esher Station. So there was a paper stand my dad owned that I used to work for occasionally. And I used to occasionally cover it. And Bobby Moore was for a small amount of time living in Esher when he first moved in with Stephanie. They were staying in a rented flat in Esher. And at the time, and this will date it, he was manager at Southend. And he used to get the train from Esher to Southend. And he'd always get the same thing. He would get a pack of polos, because often he had a few booze, and a Times. He read the Times and a pack of polos. There you go. He used to buy the same thing. Always a nice gent. Always had time for people. Wasn't really chatting, real big personality, but, you know, always had time for people who would, you know, say hello, or you're Bobby, or, you know, can I give an autograph, etc. So there you go. Twice I met Bobby, twice in Surrey. God rest his soul. Anyway, moving on. David Moyes, been rumoured that he's going to be offered 2 years if he stays up. I just wanted to quickly ask you, has he impressed enough to get 2 years if he keeps us up, John?
Yes. That's quickly enough, is it?
Nigel?
I thought you had a 2.5 year deal.
Well, with a break clause, but they've still got to both to agree it. Should I'm asking you personally, should he stay?
I wouldn't be disappointed if he stayed. Then again, I wouldn't be disappointed if he left.
Oh, really? Sitting right on the fence there. Okay.
Well, you know, there are better managers out there than David Moyes, but David Moyes at the moment is, I think, a good man to steady the ship while we try and figure out where the bloody hell we're going and what type of football.
So you're not sure.
Given the turmoil of the club, he seems to be a steady hand at the moment. So,
yeah, definitely.
Right. Obviously, Bilic came out yesterday on a BBC interview and said he should have gone after the second season. Very honest of him to say that. Did you listen to that interview, John? And
I haven't listened to it yet, Sean. So I saw what you transcribed. But
Nigel?
Yeah, he seems a very honest man.
He basically said he started with a handicap on the third season. It wasn't zero. He sort of says I was minus, and the away games, and people were injured and had surgeries, you know. On hindsight, it's not excuses, it's not alibis. I was just hampered.
What I took out of that comment about that he should have gone after year two was his working relationship with the owners. That's what I took out.
He didn't say that. I mean, if you listen to
I don't get to say that, but what I'm saying is, you know, when people give interviews like that, they're still going to be a bit guarded. They're not going to open up. You never know the real truth. And I am reading between the lines here, but I'm guessing that he'd probably had enough of the owners. The funny thing about Bilic is, even when he was manager in the first season, he always was saying in interviews how difficult the move's going to be, how difficult for the players, and he was bang on the money.
Yeah. He did say, you know, on the second season, it was tough to move, and I was really proud of the second season. He said, we broke all the records in the first season. The second season, I was really proud because we had the move, we had injuries, we had surgeries, and I was really pleased, you know. I wouldn't swap it for the first season. We did so well.
To finish 11th, I think we moved up 3 spots beating Burnley last game of the season. Yeah. Now, you know the prize money, but beating Burnley away.
Yeah, about 2 million a place. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. So, he did the West Ham Business Club. He did West Ham Business Club better than most managers have done in our time in the Premier League. 7th and 11th finish, the prize money you get for that.
Yeah, so, agreed. All right, moving on. Quick thing on Supporters Club. There was a petition, a vote of no confidence. We've been trying to promote the Supporters Club. All of us here, or more than just podcasts, use the Supporters Club in Stour Place. We want it to carry on. It's going through a bit of turmoil, which has been well publicised. We had a petition. There is a committee meeting this Thursday, and we're hoping that we can get some progress, Nigel. I know you're a big supporter of the Supporters Club as well, that hope after 70 years it can still continue.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, if you think West Ham's in chaos, Jesus Christ, the Supporters Club's even worse. It's like, it's an embodiment of West Ham.
Isn't it, really?
I mean, yeah, I haven't seen firsthand a committee meeting.
Oh, yeah, you went to a committee.
Which is, yeah, the first Tuesday of every month is a committee meeting. And having seen firsthand what went on, the best thing to do is to get a new committee and to run it. Because for me, that committee is just non-functioning. And this is why the committee's in a mess. They took their eye off the ball. I'm not going to throw stunts at people before or the people now. The eye got took off the ball. They had 6 years knowing that club was moving, and they'd done, in my opinion, they'd done nothing about it. And we're in dire straits now. And a bit of me thinks, do you know what? Shut it down and start again might be easier. That's what I think.
So if you want to follow the campaign, I think there's a Twitter account, Save Our Supporters Club or something like that. Is that on Twitter?
Yeah, like on that, Twitter and on Facebook, I think, yeah.
What is it called? It's Save Our SUPP Club. And if you search Save Our Supporters Club, WHU, you'll find it and find out the 243 people, members that voted and a vote of no confidence and what's going on. And hopefully we'll get some progress and save the club, because we've got nowhere else to go at the moment, have we? At the moment, that's our regular match day haunt. So anyway, we're update on that when we know a bit more. So let's move on to this. Yes, it's Facebook, Twitter, question time. Luke Stoneman straight in. I just put some tools in my shed. My shed is bloody cold. How's yours, Nigel?
Wouldn't know. I'm not in it.
Yeah, not time to be. Nick Harvey says, West Ham Groups United, in my view, is a good idea. Sadly, about 6 or 7 years too late. Our march, as I'm completely done with the lies from the current board. It's a shame the current level of passion wasn't shown back in 2011, 2012. Liverpool was, as expected, one of the best attacking sides versus one of the worst defensively. I think Moyes got the team selection and tactics wrong. If Moyes gets us top 12, I'll give him another 2 years. Simply, as I think we're unlikely to get significantly better. I think the board have broken many promises. Here's my list, and he provides a link to a list. It's not an exhaustive list. For me, Bobby encapsulates everything that makes West Ham special. Captain, hero, legend, always remembered. Nick seems to support your view. When you started Hugh's view, no one came along 6 or 7 years too late. You must feel a bit bitter, Nigel.
Yeah. I think that's a word that's pretty good for me.
Yeah, Douglas Woodhurst says, it's good to see Antonio back running and pace and scoring. Only thing worth mentioning about Saturday, I guess it was that, some important games coming up. I think we scraped 1 point at Swansea and 3 points against Burnley and just about stay up, but it's going to be so tight. Do you think it's going to be tight?
Yeah, it's going to be tight. What do you think? Well, you 3 points. We're 3 points.
I don't think it will be tight. I think others have got a worse run in, and I think we're finished.
We haven't got a great run in.
12-4. I still think we do enough. I don't think it's going to be tight. I don't think it's going to be squeaky bum time. I might be wrong. Right. Lewis Annantrout says, lose on Saturday. And with our running, I can see us going down exactly against what I just said. AU to score the winner. this weekend, and a Hippo had to relegate us on the final day. Oh, we're playing him on the on Everton on the final day. Saturday just shows how far behind we are from the top seven and how Adrian made a mistake for the third goal. Time to be dropped and replaced. So I'm going to ask Nigel the first one. He made a mistake on Saturday. Should Hart come back in for Swansea?
No, no. Because Hart's not going to hang around, is he, at the end of the day?
He's definitely going. Yeah. So, John, no. AU to score. AU paid £18 million from him. He's hardly played anything. Guess what? Swansea don't know where to play him, a bit like us.
Yeah, they put him up front winner? On Saturday, won't they? Go and have a go.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Joan Rutherford says, I hope Moyes plays Hernandez as his goals along with Arnes could keep us up. West Brom are goners. Huddersfield will probably be relegated. So which team will join them? It's too close to call. I do think we will survive, though, and I like Moyes and the way he manages. I think we will best send Swansea too. Optimism is the best positive. Come on, you Irons. Gary Print says, many fans said it was good when we lost the cup matches to concentrate on the league games. Would these fans suggest we do in 3 weeks' time when we got no fixtures now in March? Well, I think we've got at least one fixture in March because we got Burnley. I don't know.
Got Nigel? The friendly with Dagenham, haven't we? I
mean, come on. Oh, yes. There you go. Good.
Thanks
good
to the FA Cup being knocked out, you know. Dagenham wouldn't have that injection of cash from the West Ham fans. Yeah.
Go to Dagenham. There you go.
Go to Dagenham. There you go.
Spencer Godden says, thought Moyes should have gone for it when we scored and had some decent momentum. Hernandez should have come on when we scored and had some pressure. Moyes always waits too long. John, does he wait too long to make a change?
I can't say I've noticed that as a trait, though. He does wait too long, Sean, though.
Okay. Gary Prince says, we need 3 wins to stay up. Which 3 of the last 10s do you see us winning? Nigel, can you pick 3 games we can win?
Southampton at home.
Yeah.
Everton at home, the way they're playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I reckon we could probably nick points against Burnley. And then I think we could get a point against Swansea away as well. I mean, we've only got 4 away games, haven't we? Which is Leicester is the last away game. We've got Arsenal, Chelsea and Swansea. So it could save us the fact we played 3 away games at the start. Now we've got the Southampton.
Yeah, we have got a lot of home
away. So,
yeah. Okay. Lee Peffer says, critical period of games.
Because it is a fortress, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Lee Peffer says, a critical period of games coming up. Would 10 points in 10 games be enough? I'm not sure we need 10 points, personally. I think we only need 7. 37 should be safe. So I think we need about 7 points.
But you say that. If you say that, there's only 3 points between us and the bottom 3.
I'm saying 37 would be enough. So, argue me with the end of the season whether 37 was enough or not, John. That's all I'll say.
Okay. I say it could be more. It could be one of those. We went down with 42.
Yeah, well, then
once,
you can go,
we,
Sean, so. You're an absolute idiot.
We'd have gone down with...
And you got that wrong.
If we'd have won that last game, we'd have still gone down. We'd have gone down with 44 points that year because our goal difference was that bad. So that was a freak.
And finally, Ed Hughes says, I can't imagine how anyone thought listening to the owners... likening the owners to Hitler was a good idea. And we have discussed that, Ed. I think John said it was misguided. And obviously, Nigel gave his views as a proper East End geezer. That's all we have time for.
I've got a couple here.
On Twitter?
On Twitter.
Go on then.
Paul Turner. The banner at Liverpool. Oh. Gallows humour is a long-held British tradition and Hitler's been used in humour for as long as I can remember. People doing that are not endorsing either the evils of fascism or crimes of the Nazis. To claim otherwise is totally ridiculous. So a bit different from me, and Paul's a local boy like myself. So, and the other message was, if I find it, the fact that at least we won at Wembley in the League Cup, unlike Arsenal.
Excellent. So, Let's move on to predictions for Swansea away. Trains aren't running to Wales, which is probably lucky because none of us are going. Nigel.
Don't worry about all the others that are going, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 2,000 that are going.
1-1.
1-1.
1-1.
John.
2-1 to us.
Which leaves me with my favourite 1-0 prediction. So I'll go for a 1-0 against Swansea in Wales. That's all we've got time for. The only thing I wanted to plug, because we all loved it, we want you. We're going to put a link on our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/morethanjustapodcast, with two O's, obviously, for Bobby Moore. Canning Town Len has come out with an excellent video called Razzle Dazzle, and you found it first, John, and told us about it. I keep on playing it again and again.
I have watched it a few times. It is really good. I've showed plenty of people as well. It's good.
Yeah, excellent. Did you like it, Nigel, George, whatever your name is?
Yeah, loved it. Loved it.
Loved it.
People,
more to come, isn't
Canning Town, please. Can I point out, I am not Canning Town, Lynn.
You are not Canning Town,
Lynn. People have asked.
Have they?
Yeah, and he's got some other blinders coming. That's all I'll
say. Yeah, there's a whole musical coming, but we're not allowed to reveal it at this stage.
There's some. I've heard one.
Anyway, that's 59 minutes gone, and we said we're going to keep these under an hour. So that's it. It's goodbye from me, Sean. It's goodbye from John.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from the shed man, not in his shed. Goodbye, Nigel.
Goodbye, Pinocchio.
Oh, shocking. Come on, you Irons.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.